Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's a Friday, hour two. We're live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Nice to have you in. We're back-to-back blazing 5 weeks, 4-1 last week. And even our bonus pick on our podcast on Saturdays was right. And the week before, we had a winning week. We were 3-2. Should have been 4-1. Ravens crushed us, even though we had the right side on that. So we're very, very hot right now. I like favorites this week. Joy Taylor is joining me. Eric Mangini coming up in 15 minutes. Joy, how are you?
Doing good. Hanging in there. It's been a long week for everyone.
It has. A lot of stress.
Yep. We've got a nice weekend of football coming up. Some really big college games.
Notre Dame, 12. Clemson. Yes. Arizona State, USC. What do we got tonight? Yep. What's going on tonight?
BYU, Boise State tonight. And Miami plays tonight.
BYU's got...
Yeah, Miami plays tonight.
BYU too. Has a quarterback that may go in the first round. Zach Wilson. May go. Not saying, but if you want to watch that game tonight, BYU's got a quarterback that's very interesting.
And great game Sunday.
It's on FS1. So he's going to get drafted probably second round, maybe late first. So watch that. All right, here we go. We've been hot lately. Blazing 5. All of our odds are provided, as always, by FoxBet. And here we go.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing 5. Seahawks at Bills.
I'm going to take Seattle -3 at Buffalo. Don't worry about the East Coast. Seattle's on a 10-game winning streak in the Eastern time zone. That's the best place they play. I can't figure it out, but it is. Here's what we're talking about. Russell Wilson, best player on the planet against Josh Allen. Josh Allen has not played well for a couple of weeks. 4 touchdown passes, 5 turnovers in the last 4 games for Josh Allen. If you look at his quarterback rating in the last 4 games, it's been 79. Josh is not playing particularly well right now, and their defense is not good enough to beat good teams. They've beaten one good team all year, the Raiders. Rams doesn't count. They got an officiating break in one of the last calls of the game. They're the third team in NFL history to be 6-2 and have a negative point differential. A little bit of fool's gold here. They're getting worse. I like Seattle to win and cover 33-26.
Ravens at Colts.
Baltimore -2.5. I'm going to take the Ravens. They have a huge advantage of quarterback. When you have Lamar Jackson, you can roll the pocket. Quarterback draws, throw it downfield. Come on, last couple of years, Lamar's been very good in the road. Let's not freak out. They had 460 total yards against the Steelers. He made mistakes. He has regressed. But you can do things with Lamar Jackson you can't do with Phillip Rivers. And that's the NFL in 2020. And I got questions about the Colts. I think they have a low ceiling. Their 5 wins are against the Vikings, Jets, Bears, Bengals, and Lions. They're a little hot and cold to me. I don't trust them. Their defense feels like it is very reliant on Darius Leonard. I like the Ravens to win by a touchdown and cover, 27-20.
Giants at Washington.
I like Washington -3 here. They're off a bye. And the Giants, Monday Night Football on a short week. You know I always love that. So they got 5 extra practices, 4 extra practices with a veteran head coach, Ron Rivera. Also, the Giants off an emotional last play of the game loss. Do they take a step back? Washington with a bye. Also, Washington's defense is fantastic. We knew it would be. Chase Young, Ron Rivera. By the way, Daniel Jones, 36 turnovers last 2 years, most in the NFL. I think it comes down to this. It's an ugly, choppy game. Kyle Allen won't turn it over. And I believe Daniel Jones will. I think off a bye, I'll take Washington to win and cover. It's ugly, 24-17.
Dolphins at Cardinals.
Like Arizona, I love Arizona. Off a bye. Miami. 3,000-mile flight cross-country. So, Tua last week. He was at home, 2 weeks to prepare. He was very comfortable. Now he's going to be in a shootout because Arizona off a bye is going to put a lot of points up. Their offense this year is first in total yards, rushing yards, second in total rushing touchdowns. The Dolphins had 145 total yards last week. I think this comes down to Arizona rested, healthier. Tua's going to be forced to play. At a much higher rate, they're going to have him throwing 30, 35 times. I don't think he's ready for it. I'm going to take Kyler in Arizona to win and cover 30-22.
Saints at Buccaneers.
Really like Tom Brady and the Bucs here, -5.5. Why were the Buccaneers so flat on Monday Night Football? Because they were looking ahead to this thing. So I always say, don't look at a team last week and say, oh, that's what they are. They were looking ahead. Brady, Breeze, the difference is one of them's really good right now. The Bucs have the best point differential in the NFL and the best turnover differential since losing to the Saints in week one. Take the first game out. Their defense in Tampa's number one in the NFL. They also have the ability with AB to throw over the top, in the slot, up the sidelines. Right now, Tampa is a offense with no limitations. Drew Brees missed practice yesterday. He is banged up. Do not watch game one at all. Tampa since then, turnover differential, number one in the NFL. Point differential, number one in the NFL. It's not the same team. Tampa wins, covers 30-21, and I'm not even sure it'll feel that close. For more of my Blazing 5 picks, check out the Fox Bet social platforms. I don't think I've ever taken five favorites. But, you know, it's a different year. Different stuff is happening, and I really like the favorites this week. Some of them are even ugly favorites. Washington's hard to stomach, but the Giants, short week, right? Monday Night Football, like them. So I saw something really interesting passed to me yesterday. I didn't have time to get to it yesterday, so I'm doing it today. So you would think if a quarterback has 40-plus touchdown passes, that is lethal. And the NFL's never been more of an offensive league, right? You think, and you start looking at them, Brady and Manning and Mahomes and Marino and Brees and Rodgers and, oh my, Andrew Luck. And one has won a Super Bowl. One. Kurt Warner, who also, it should be noted, had a Hall of Fame running back with him. Quarterback heroics are great for awards. They're bad for the Lombardi Trophy. And I'll give you an example of why I really worry about the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle has now become increasingly dependent on Russell Wilson. But if you watch what Kansas City's doing with Mahomes, it's really smart. So Patrick Mahomes, in the last three wins, has averaged 30 passes a game. That is with the beyond clever Andy Reid, the fastest receiver in the league, arguably the best tight end in football. He's throwing 30 times a game. Colin, what's your point? The average attempts, if you add all the quarterbacks up in the NFL, the average quarterback throws 35 times a game. So they have a better coach, a better quarterback, better weapons. But Kansas City's figuring it out. We want to become less and less reliant on Patrick Mahomes. Now, that's counterintuitive. Why would you do that? Because let's just think about it pragmatically. I don't want him standing back there passing 40 times a game because he could get hit. I want him throwing on third and three. So the linebackers have to be honest. They come up to the line. Mahomes is throwing. They rush back. I don't want him throwing on third and eight. So Kansas City's figured it out. The better our run game, the better our defense, the less reliant on him, the longer he can play. If you go really look at Brady's biggest years with Randy Moss, they were very reliant on the big play. Most New England teams won it with special teams, defense, and Tom being really efficient, often played poorly in the first halves of Super Bowls. Then the offense, trailing, would turn it on. So I think Kansas City, you would think, would pass more than the average NFL team. And they don't. They pass about 10-15% less than the average NFL team. And now some of this, I picked Kansas City and Seattle to get to the Super Bowl. Because I will say, Seattle went out and drafted another running back, DJ Dallas, who's their three or their four running back. If Chris Carson is healthy, I think this is a Super Bowl team. And I don't think they will be as reliant on Russell Wilson once all their running backs are healthy. So that is the good news for Seattle. But I think sometimes you forget, you look at all these, the best years in the history of quarterbacks. Peyton Manning's got one, two. Aaron Rodgers has two. Brees has one. Tom's got one. Marino's got two. And the only Super Bowl winner was Kurt Warner. And that's because he had Marshall Faulk, who at the time was just, you know, he's one of the 10 best running backs in league history. So all that stuff that you think is just so great, it's great for MVP trophies. It is not great for Lombardi trophies. Eric Mangini is around the corner. Great to have you in on a Friday. Seattle, as I said, is at Buffalo, and I do like the Seahawks. I don't pick the Seahawks very much on this show. As my sister and others close to the Seahawks say, I'm often picking against Seattle, but I liked them last week, and I like them this week.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow, Pac-12 football returns as Arizona State takes on USC in the big noon Saturday game of the week on Fox. Or over on FS1, Big Ten heavyweight Michigan battles Indiana. Both games are tomorrow at noon Eastern on Fox and FS1, and as always, streaming live on the Fox Sports app.
Arizona-USC, along with Oregon, could be the best teams in the conference, so I'm interested to watch that. Eric Mangini, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Jets, Browns head coach, got three rings with the Patriots, and I appreciate him stopping by today and joining us live. He's actually in Ohio. So I've said before on Tua, he doesn't have the size, he doesn't have a ton of wiggle, so I'm just kind of waiting to see special. I saw it with Herbert, I saw it with Burrow, I saw it early with Lamar, I see it with Kyler, I'm waiting for special. And right now, Miami's got to see if he can play, so let's put him out there. When you look at young quarterbacks, is there something you would see from Tua and go, that worries me, that worries me? What are you looking to see?
Okay, well, a couple of things. I remember last week we talked about whether this was an organizational decision to put him in or whether or not he was actually ready, and this was the plan overall. And then after watching the game plan last week and watching him play, it felt like it was more of an organizational decision of we got to see what we have here. Now, that being said, there's going to be bumps, and there's going to be a lot of bumps for him because he hasn't played in so long, but you want to see growth from week to week. You want to see presence. You want to see the fact or the ability to go into the huddle and operate the huddle efficiently to really understand what they're trying to achieve offensively. And then the next step is what are they trying to do to us defensively? You'll see a lot of guys who, once they get past their first read, they have no idea what to do with the ball. You see guys who come up the line of scrimmage and there's a blitz coming and they have no idea how to get out of trouble. So you want to see that part of it develop as well. Physically, you'll give him the benefit of the doubt here early because he's transitioning back into playing, but you've got to see that presence, that growth, and that understanding from a week-to-week basis.
Now a guy that's been in the league a while, I like him, but there is now an issue with Jimmy Garoppolo. He gets hurt a lot. New England, a couple different times. Now, first full year in San Francisco, he gets hurt. Now this year, he's going to play six games. He is hurt. You can't be in a division with Russell Wilson, who never gets hit, Kyler Murray and Jared Goff. You got to be available. I think Kyle Shanahan has made his mind up. I think last year against the Packers, when they threw eight times, I'm like, okay, you're telling me something. So do you think – I mean, I think Garoppolo's got he's got legs somewhere, but I think New England may be it. I mean, I just think they're done with him, Coach. I think they're done with him in San Francisco.
I like the euphemism that you use of I like Jimmy Garoppolo. I remember when you loved
I know. There
Jimmy
was a
Garoppolo
point.
When, oh, my God. Yeah, there was a love affair that was burning red hot when he wanted him to get rid of Tom Brady, and it was such a big mistake to let him go. And look, I think that the playoffs last year spoke volumes about how they felt in terms of his ability to win a game versus his potential to lose a game. And you never want to have your franchise quarterback be a concern week in and week out of whether or not you know the game could go either direction based on his decision making. So that's one component of it. The injuries, he's played in since he's been a starter a couple more games than he's missed. And you know, Bill Parcells, durability is more important than ability. It's hard to plan week in, week out if he is your guy.
Yeah.
And you don't know whether or not he's actually going to be playing. And now you've got to have real significant depth at that second and third spot. They're in a position financially where they could move on from him with very little repercussions. I think it's like $2 million worth of dead money. Now, the flip side of that is they also have him at a great number if they do believe in him. It's hard for me to think, though, he goes back to New England and it works that much better, because now you're saying, okay, Kyle Shanahan can't make it work with him, but somehow New England is going to?
Yeah. You know, we kind of know who's good and who's not. There's a bunch of teams in the middle we haven't decided yet. Is Buffalo good or not? Raiders good or not? They played each other. But I look at a team like Pittsburgh, and you were talking before the break, you actually think, despite their record, they're not quite the story they should be. Why?
Yeah, I'm really surprised. It's the best start that the Steelers have had in 42 years. They've got a Hall of Fame quarterback. They've got a salty defense. I think there's 7 number one draft picks on that defense.
Yeah.
There was 8 when Devin Bush played. You've got a veteran head coach that's been able to win consistently and done really good things with not just maintaining the strengths of their defense, but also adding some things defensively. And look who they played. They've beaten some really good teams. I know you like the grittiness of Philly, and then Cleveland, and then you go to Tennessee. But to me, the metric is last week. When you can play as poorly as they played against a really good team and still figure out a way to win, that tells you a lot about a team. And it's a strange metric to draw on. But usually, you know, average teams or even good teams are going to lose those games. This is a really good team. And you saw that last week in them figuring out a way to win.
Yeah, but what an organization, too. They draft well. They develop. Very rarely does a guy go to the Steelers and not get better. So it's not just drafting. You know, they develop players, which I love. So here's an interesting stat. The average NFL quarterback throws 35 times a game. Mahomes throws 30. And I think this is kind of part of Brett Veach being real smart, the GM, and Andy Reid. They do not want to be reliant on Mahomes. They're going to ask him to be great occasionally. Of the greatest years ever in NFL history, 40-plus touchdown passes. One time that quarterback won a Super Bowl, Kurt Warner, and he also had a great running back in Marshall Faulk. They did have a running game. I look at Seattle, and Eric, my issue is they are so dependent on Russell Wilson. These kind of teams don't win Super Bowls. They're just too Russell Wilson dependent is what I see. What do you see?
I agree with that. I've had this argument with Nick Wright a bunch of times, and everybody talks about let Russell cook. I get that. But there's going to be weeks, and there's going to be times where he's off. And it happens with all great quarterbacks. You saw it with Aaron Rodgers against Tampa Bay. There's just those weeks where you can't put everything on the guy's back. And if you haven't developed a second pitch, then you're dead. And I loved what Andy Reid did. When he did show the rest of the league, look, if you're going to give me the opportunity to run and run effectively, even though I have all these weapons in the passing game and I, you know, am inclined to throw the ball, the discipline that he showed and the message that he sent that they will run the ball, it changes the dynamics when you play Kansas City. Because if you're going to play all split safety defense, you know that Andy Reid has a discipline and also the lack of ego to run the ball down your throat, and it makes it that much harder to defend.
All right, Brady and the Bucs, Breeze and the Saints. Who do you like and why?
I like Brady and the Bucs. My favorite stat coming out of Tampa Bay is they've got 11 penalties against Chicago and then 7 the next 3 games. And we talked about the impact that Brady had and Brady could have on the culture and the locker room. That takes time when you're freeze. And I think that the difference between this game and the first game is his familiarity with the players. They seem to be pushing the system more to what Tom's most comfortable with.
Yeah.
And the impact that he's having in the locker room. And look, the issues in New Orleans are real with Michael Thomas. I mean, you're missing a guy with 150 catches last year. And the fact that he got benched and there's been whatever's happening behind the scenes. Those things are real and they're disruptive.
Yeah, that is a weird thing. He's practicing but not playing. I don't know what it is. Did you ever have a time in your career in the NFL where you had a week where you had a disruption in the locker room? Did it affect the team?
Yeah, there's disruptions in locker rooms a lot of weeks. It's just how well you can keep it under control. And also, who else is in the locker room? What type of leadership you have in the locker room? When you've got veteran guys and you've got guys that have some authority, they don't let that stuff go too far. But it's terribly disruptive because you can have cliques form, you can have differences of opinion, you can have guys who feel like the coaches are treating them unfairly, and it's just you're fighting yourself instead of doing what's important, which is getting ready to fight your opponent.
Yeah. Eric Mangini, 3 rings. Good talking to you, Coach.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. It'll be, you know, I think most people have come to the conclusion that Garoppolo's done in San Francisco. The question is, where does he go? I think, and I'll talk about this later, I think New England fits because I don't think New England has an answer at quarterback next year. I don't think the Cam thing works. Stidham's obviously doesn't work. They haven't shown an ability. They've drafted 11 quarterbacks, Belichick, since Brady came into the NFL. He's one of them. They've hit on two. Brady and Garoppolo's okay. I think they're going to go back and get Garoppolo. That's what I feel. I just like they haven't shown an ability to draft quarterbacks. I mean, since Gronk, tight ends, wide receivers. I mean, the running backs have been okay. Offensive line is the one place they develop players, but they had Dante Scarnecchia. So I think they're going to run out of weapons here, and they're going to be too good. They'll beat the Jets twice. They'll have 4 wins. That's not a top 6 pick. You're not going to get a quarterback. So I don't think they're going to take Darnold away because I think Belichick would like to face Darnold more. And he's had great success with him. So I think you start looking around. Matt Ryan is immobile and expensive. Bill doesn't like to pay for anything. Garoppolo's cheap. You can give up a draft pick, pay him $25 million. You can not have to pay him a lot. There's not a lot of market for Jimmy Garoppolo because of his injury. So you can get him at a discount. He knows your system. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I also highly doubt that the Jets are going to give Bill Belichick Sam Darnold.
No, that's a great point. That will not happen.
That's not going to happen. So Aaron Rodgers threw for 4 touchdowns last night on his way to a 34-17 win for the Packers. Mm-hmm. And that put him in some elite company. He became the second player in NFL history to throw at least 24 touchdowns and 2 or fewer interceptions in his team's first 8 games of the season. The other is Tom Brady, who threw 30 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in his first game of the first 8 games, I'm sorry, of the 2007 season when the Patriots went 16-0 and lost in the Super Bowl. But Rodgers is playing at a very high level. Again, obviously, really, really connecting with Devontae last night was good for them. I felt like this was a game, this game went exactly how it was supposed to go. And that is the Packers get back to playing the way they're supposed to play. They beat up on a not a bad team, but a team that has just been ravaged by injuries. Yeah. I mean, Nick Mullins, I don't know what you expected. Like, they were showing shots of C.J. Beathard, possibly putting him out there last night. So we know what the 49ers and the situation is there. It's not that they're a bad team. They have way too many injuries to overcome, and then the losses from COVID last night as well. But I thought this was good for the Packers. I didn't learn anything about the Packers, but I felt like it was a good morale boost, you know, after that loss to the Vikings. Again, I really don't know what to make of them. They're kind of front runners. They play great against really bad teams. And if it's a physical team with a run game, they struggle. They're contenders. But at the end of the day, I think it comes down to situations in big games in the playoffs. And if you can't get a big stop, I don't know how that's going to work for them. But again, I don't put this on Aaron Rodgers. And when they have games like that, like last night where Aaron Rodgers does things like that, it irritates me even more that the draft went the way that it did for the Packers.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're if they would have taken a great defensive tackle, because they have a little bit of a pass rush, it was a long term draft. When Aaron Rodgers is a short term player, he's got 3 great years left. Get him players.
Well, that was my issue. I understand the value of getting a quarterback. We were just talking about this with the Patriots, right? You want to take a quarterback every couple drafts, make sure that you're developing someone, you have someone in the pipeline. That's fine. But Aaron Rodgers is not at that point yet.
Yeah.
So if you're picking someone who's a backup or kind of interesting, or he falls to you, but that was an aggressive move for Jordan Love. You can't disguise it any other way. You moved up to get him.
Yeah.
And for what? That was not what you needed. You were right there. You were a game away from the Super Bowl last year, and you did nothing to change what you needed to change in order to get to the Super Bowl. So the Bucs already have an incredible amount of offensive weapons, but according to Chris Collinsworth, the team still could use a slot receiver who can get open quickly in the middle of the field. Antonio Brown will make his debut for Tampa on Sunday, and Collinsworth thinks he has a good chance to be that guy, saying Brown could well be that missing piece that puts them over the top. Now, generally, I don't think of Antonio Brown as a slot receiver.
You can put him there. Actually, Yeah, Mike Evans is a perimeter. He's so big. Godwin, you could do slot if you wanted to. Listen, if you're going to play three,
somebody has to.
And they also have Scotty Miller, who's super fast. So I think you can do a lot with this offense. I know Tom's always liked a slot receiver. Certainly, you know, he feels very comfortable getting rid of the ball fast at this point in his career.
Yes. I'm really interested to see how they use Antonio Brown on Sunday, just because he hasn't played for a while. And obviously, this is a new system for him. I'm not saying I'm skeptical. I just want to watch. I just want to see before I make any predictions about what this is going to be and how it's going to work. Obviously, Brady is extremely invested. In some ways, I don't know if that works against him, that he's going to allow that, you know, personal situation to get in the way of spreading the ball around. Who knows? Either way, this is a must-watch game. And the Saints are dealing with Drew Brees' shoulder injury this week. He has downplayed the significance of the injury on Wednesday, but he was limited in practice for the second straight day on Thursday. Gottlieb was on with us a little bit earlier and suggested that this might be a game where we see Jameis Winston.
I think it would almost be more interesting. I really do. I would like to see that.
Well, I just think it's strange that they're not really talking about this. Significant is this injury?
This is a bad locker room right now. Nobody wants to talk about it. There's stuff going on here. Maybe because of that moment in the preseason, the Black Lives Matter movement. I have no idea what it is, but something's not right here.
Something's not right, and the Michael Thomas situation is strange as well, as Eric just mentioned. I don't know. I picked the Saints to go to the Super Bowl this year. I don't know how strong I feel about this now. Obviously, we have a lot of football left to play. But this is a big game, and I feel like the Bucs are going to come into this game with all of the emotional energy because they lost the first game to them. This is a big game for the division.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown. This is a must-watch one this weekend.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
You know, I was talking to Eric Mangini. I don't think it's interesting. So I was just looking at the easiest and hardest remaining schedules in the NFL, and New England's got the second easiest to the Browns. That means they should win some games. They have the Jets twice. They'll win both those. So there's 12 teams currently with at least two games under 500. There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL. I mean, we're halfway through. There's a lot of not very good teams. And New England's got two wins. They're 2-5, and they're going to beat the Jets twice. They're a touchdown favorite this weekend. So they have four wins. So, and the second easiest schedule going forward. What does that tell you? They're probably going to win four games, maybe five, but let's say it's four. That means they're not going to get one of these. They're not going to get one of these great three college quarterbacks. There's about a 70-30, 80-20 chance now. New England's not, if they win, if they beat the Jets, they're not going to get one of these quarterbacks. And so, again, Belichick has won 43% of his games without Tom Brady. There's no evidence they're just going to bounce back after this divorce with Brady. Secondly, Belichick, the more power he has, the less he help and assistance he takes in the draft. And his last four or five drafts have been lousy, especially on offense. And there's no sure thing at quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo could be the best thing available on the market for the price. He doesn't want to pay Matt Ryan dollars. So, you know, this idea that Brady's going to flourish a year after the divorce, Belichick's going to bottom out, and then they're going to bounce right back is, I think New England was mostly irrelevant before Tom Brady, and I think Belichick could be irrelevant after Tom Brady. I didn't think they were going to be good this year. All the media experts kept saying, oh, it'll be great. They're not great. They're the worst offense in the league. And I don't think all this stuff is solvable. How is it solvable? They don't like to overpay for wide receivers. They don't know what wide receivers, tight ends look like post-Gronk in the draft. Belichick won't let anybody have a say in the draft. They've gotten progressively worse the more power he's had. There's no answer at quarterback. It's not Cam. It's not Stidham. They won't get the draft. And I said this yesterday, is that Brady was going to succeed because Brady is built. He's an aspirational personality. He is built to grow and evolve. That's who he is. You know, Belichick's very much who he is. I'm not changing. This is the way I do things. And I think, you know, we're 6-8 games post-divorce, and it's way worse than any of you thought. The Buccaneers and Brady are way better than you thought, and New England's way worse, and I don't think the gap closes. I don't think there's an answer at quarterback. Tell me where it is. I think it's Garoppolo, and I don't think that's great. I think that's good. I don't think it's great. Tom Curran, New England. We'll talk about some of this stuff and more. Don't go anywhere. Terry Bradshaw stops by last hour as well. Blazing 5 picks are in. J-Max has his as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, I don't even try to make people upset, but people in Boston were all upset with me yesterday because I came out and I said, listen, a lot of times, and I've been in this situation, I conformed with a company for 10 years, but it really didn't define me. It wasn't who I was. And I think Tom Brady's always been a Californian, global, aspirational. He's not a Boston guy. He couldn't wait to get out. The minute he got out, he wanted to go and have fun. And a lot of people in Boston are like, you know, I don't like the new Brady. And my takeaway is, how do we know it's the new Brady? Tom's got houses in Costa Rica, the supermodel, the brand where it's like no drinking. Boston's defined by Sam Adams. How do we know that Tom didn't conform and who he really is a risk-taking, player-friendly, live-and-let-live guy? And Tom Curran, Patriots insider, NBC Sports, is all fired up on this. I got so much good hate mail yesterday. Let's bring him in. All right, Tom, everybody's fired up about, how do I know that Tom Brady wasn't just the great conformer? And in the end, Brady's very comfortable in Tampa. This is who he is. And, you know, the AB living with him and you know, he's not necessarily a Boston guy. He was just a great Boston employee.
Colin, we all knew that. No one was under any kind of confusion in terms of Tom Brady. He's a bit of a chameleon. But the one thing that's been constant is the way the guy competes. And that, to me, was what defined him here. It wasn't that, look, pictures of him at Carnival with shaved armpits and going down a slide and licking ice cream with Giselle, that wasn't really something that most people here in Boston identified with. But it was the unmitigated grit that, whether it's Boston or Philly or New York or Los Angeles or Dallas, you name it, every single city in this country has a level of grit that it identifies with. So you can be as dimple-chinned, handsome, and well-squared away as Tom Brady is, but Bostonians knew that he was from Northern California. They identified with him because of who he was and the way he identified here. But no one, Colin, no one ever was under the delusion that he was a full-blown Bostonian.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I don't buy Belichick's won 43% of his games. I know he's a great coach without Brady, but this idea they're going to bounce back, my guess is they win 4 to 5 games. That's going to be too many wins to get a top three quarterback. What's the answer at quarterback? It's not Stidham. It's not Cam. Do you think they'd go after Garoppolo?
What's mystifying to me, and I'll get to the Garoppolo in 1 second, if you'll bear with me, because it's interesting to look at the whole arc of what's happened. In 2017, Belichick made it very clear, we're not trading Jimmy Garoppolo for really any offer. Then Halloween rolls around and he says, let's just give him to Kyle Shanahan for a second rounder. No auction, no pass him around the league, let's move him on. And after that, what have they done at the quarterback position? While Colin actively holding the door open for Tom Brady and saying, go ahead, you want to go, go. We're not going to give you any more money. We're going to give you hard to reach incentives. You want to go, you can go. But what did they do at the position? They drafted Danny Etling, and they drafted Jarrett Stidham in the fourth round. Now we look at Jimmy, and I wouldn't want him back necessarily. He's going to be probably over a $25 million a year player. He's been there for 3 years, Colin, out in San Francisco. And in the three seasons, full seasons he was there, he's not going to finish two of them. He couldn't make it six quarters in New England without getting hurt. So I don't understand what the Patriots' plan was at quarterback to succeed the greatest ever. And if it was Garoppolo, that wasn't a good plan either.
You know, it's interesting. I said this. One of the things you have to be reluctant to do when you get power, don't use it. Don't flex. And that is what, like, the Woody Hayes, you know, Popovich has done a little. I would say Bobby Knight has done. They get power and they use it. I am concerned about this. The more Super Bowl trophies that Bill Belichick had, the more he has controlled the draft, and I don't think, frankly, he knows how to draft a wide receiver or a tight end because they haven't had a Pro Bowler at a skill position since Gronk. I don't like their roster offensively right now, which is why I thought Cam, after a couple of weeks, I'm like, maybe this works. He's their best athlete.
Yep.
Don't you think they have a personnel problem and a drafting problem as well?
Drastic personnel and drafting problems, and it's really existed since the 2012 draft. They hit Hightower and Chandler Jones, and after that, Jamie Collins, against scouts' advice. And yeah, he was a good player, but Jamie Collins and then Aaron Dobson, 14, was Dominique Easley and Garoppolo, 15. They got Joe Tooney in the draft that year, 16. They just haven't done well. Isaiah Wynn, N'Keal Harry, and Sony Michel are some of their most recent first-round picks. Kyle Duggar this year was their highest pick. those aren't players that are setting the world afire, nor have they cleaned up in free agency, Colin. So it's hard to look at what the Patriots are doing personnel-wise and say they're killing it. And Scott Pioli gave excellent pushback, I think, to Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
But I think Nick Castario and Bill right now don't seem to share a brain, or scarily enough, might be heresy, a plan or a vision.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? By the way, what do people in Boston think today about Brady's emergence and success? Is there a little bitterness?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely bitterness. It's a very splintered community. Some people are of a mind that this is exactly what you're looking for. We all knew this was going to happen with Tom Brady. And other people are of a mind that this is not what we thought was going to happen. And Brady was trying to weasel his way out of town and shoot his way out of town. And as a result, that's why he's down there. He wanted to leave. That's not the truth. And then there's people split right down the middle who say, well, fine, he's doing well there, and I'm happy for him. But the Patriots are better off without him, in that they would have just been kicking rocks all season long.
Yeah. Tom Curran, NBC Sports, Patriots Insider. It's great, great having you on the show. I appreciate it.
We're done?
Well, I could ask you another. I mean, I wanted to ask you, why didn't they trade Stephon Gilmore? But my guess is they wanted 9 picks for him. Why didn't they trade
that
him?
That, I think, 100%. You can't. I mean, when Bill is in an unprecedented spot right now, unfamiliar territory, you trade away a guy like Stephon Gilmore, defending player of the year defensively, you're basically telling these players who are jumping through hoops COVID-wise, many of whom you had to convince to play this year, that, yeah, we're going to pull the ripcord on the season. And Colin, already last week, he made a suggestion that the team was all in, and this is basically a rebuilding year. Said that to WEEI and to Charlie Weiss both. If I'm a player or a coach and I hear that comment, I'm like, we're not all in this year? Well, then why am I staying here until midnight? Why am I busting my ass to get out there? So I just think that was an unbelievable misstep in terms of getting out there. And Bill got over his skis a little bit in trying to defend where things are and why they're where they are.
Okay, I got 60 seconds. Antonio Brown Brady, does it work in Tampa?
It does work in Tampa because Brady, I think, was of a mind last year that Antonio got hosed. He didn't deserve to be released. What he did with the text messaging was outrageous. But I think that Tom felt he was reachable, fixable, and the Patriots cut him loose and you saw disarray.
Yeah.
This definitely visits on Tom Brady if it doesn't work.
Yeah,
visits on him.
Yeah, there's no question that Tom wanted this puppy to work. All right, Tom, we got to run. Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. Good
All right,
stuff.
Take care. So he's saying that people in Boston knew Brady wasn't a Bostonian.
Was it the Uggs?
Well, I mean, I've said yesterday, Aikman's from Dallas. He feels Dallas. Big Ben, scruffy, tough guy, you know, not refined. That's Pittsburgh. He's a Pittsburgh guy. Like, feels like it, right? Ohio, Pittsburgh. Certain guys feel like certain places. I don't think there's any question. I mean, let's be honest about Aaron Rodgers doesn't feel like Green Bay. Brady never felt like Boston to me. He's happy.
He never felt like Boston, but I don't. I think to Tom's point, like, if you win, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, like, Dan Marino's not from Miami, but after a while, he felt like Miami.
Oh, he's very Miami now.
Yeah, he's Pittsburgh guy, but he feels very, he's kind of glamorous. Miami's glamorous.
Get a tan going, good hair.
Trying to think of, Eli Manning didn't feel New York and won 2 Super Bowls, and I never felt, he just feels like he should be the Titans quarterback.
Yeah.
Eli Manning should be the Titans quarterback. Didn't we do this before? We said where you. I think we did this once, and I love this segment.
We switched the quarterbacks around.
What quarterback match? Like I think Russell Wilson feels like New York. Sierra Russell.
Yeah,
they look like models.
No, we did do this before. Yeah.
Yeah, it's big. He's a big brand. Like they feel like a New York.
We transplanted everyone.
We did. I love that. We have to do that again.
Except for Ben. I think Ben stayed there.
Sam Darnold feels like a California quarterback to me. It's a little loose.
Really, he feels so much like the Colts to me.
I don't know. Maybe the Colts.
Yeah.
About three months. Hour 3 next.